الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي وقال تعالى لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home. Last week we discussed the nurturing of the nafs. We spoke about the nafs and the different stages of the nafs. Nafs-e ammara, nafs-e lawwama, nafs-e mutmainna. And of course we're not going to go back into the details. But the focus was on the fact that we have to train this nafs of ours. And the example that I'd given, the nafs is like a little child, a little baby. And we gave the example of how a person trains the child. First the baby is put in the, or the little child is put in the back of the car, in the seat. It is strapped up, there's a safety belt. And as the child grows, then the child is put onto the seat, but we have safety locks in the car. And each time the parents are monitoring this child, father is looking in the mirror, mother is turning around, making sure that the child is behaving, the child is not sticking his head out of the window. Like that, our nigah, our eyes are always on our nafs. And we are nurturing this nafs. Bring it from a stage of ammara, then to lawwama, and finally to mutmainna. When he said this child then grows up, comes into the front of the car now, the passenger seat. Father is driving, still he tells the son, now you strap yourself. And then comes the time, mutmainna, when the child now is an adult and he's driving and the father sitting on the passenger seat. But then also, father is wary, tells him, boy, don't drive too fast. There may be some cops in front, just watch your speed. There may be some potholes. So in all conditions, a person has to be wary of his nafs. And Rasulullah has mentioned that this is the worst of our enemies. But we explained that nafs is not something that you hate. Nafs is something that you nurture. Because nafsul mutma'inna is that stage of the nafs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. But we ourselves don't have that itminan. We shouldn't have that itminan that now I've made some mujahada and now I've trained my nafs. Like the other example we gave of the person riding a wild horse. Initially, the horse might drop him off. He might get hurt, injured. But then he trains this horse. And finally, he's able to do tricks on the horse also. And we'll give an example also of the boxing ring. The nafs is the opponent. Or a wrestling match. So each time the person is now fighting his opponent. And he will also get a few punches. He might get injured. But then he begins to learn the tricks of his opponent. And he practices. And he watches very carefully. And he also throws in a few good jabs. And perhaps, I said, in one or two matches he may lose. But then there's a rematch. And comes the day when he is well trained. And he knows every movement of his opponent. And he is able to defend himself very well. And he's able to defeat his opponent. And then he gets a title that he is now the world champion. I said that title is nothing compared to when Allah Ta'ala gives you the title of wilayat. When you have now subdued your nafs and you have pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That person who fears standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The person who fears the day of reckoning, the day of Hisab Kitab, the day when he will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all alone. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٌ. There is no interpreter between him, the banda, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the dunya, you don't understand the language, or you got to explain in your language, and the other person can't understand, you have an interpreter. So somehow, you gain some solace, some type of support. He tries to explain on your behalf. In the akhirah, there's no such thing. Each person speaks directly to Allah. Allah understands all languages. And whatever the person will speak, he'll speak directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will question him on every single deed he had performed. So obviously, if a person has the genuine fear that I am going to stand all alone before my Allah on the day of Qiyamah, then I have to ensure that all my books are in order. And for the person's books to be in order, he has to have control of his nafs. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. His nafs will pull him, tempt him, lure him into haram. But this person restrains, he refrains. Such a person, Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Jannat is his abode. Jannat is his prize. That's his success in the hereafter. So, this nurturing of the nafs is vital. Every single person, whether he's an alim, whether he's a sheikh, whether he's a murid, whether he's a mufti, whether he's a qari, whether he's an imam, whether he's a teacher, lawyer, doctor, accountant, whoever he may be, each person has this nafs with him all the time. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't deem myself to be free from any temptations. إِنَّ نَفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. This nafs commands again and again evil. It prompts a person towards evil. Therefore, ulama say we have to make muhasabah. Muhasabah means we have to check our nafs. How we have hisab kitab. We take stock of our goods. Exactly that, we take stock of our nafs. And we check our nafs all the time. In the time of the Salaf al-Salihin, the awliya Allah, they would have a book, and the moment they would do something or say something, and after pondering and reflecting, they felt that that was not the right thing they should have said, they make a note of it. At the end of the day, they check up all the things they had said during the entire day, and all the actions they did, and they check whether it was in conformance with the Sharia or against the Sharia. Was it good to have said that, or was it bad to have said that? Was it appropriate or not appropriate? That is what they should make muhasabah of themselves. Our Hazrat Arif Billah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, he mentions, نفس کا غلام ہے غرق ہے وہ گناہ میں. That person who becomes a slave of his nafs, he makes his nafs the master. Nafsi, you stand, you stand. Nafsi, you sit, you sit. Nafsi, you must look at that haram woman, he looks at the haram woman. So what happens? He drowns in sins. Head to toe, he's covered with sins. Hazrat says, what type of life is it? Hazrat says, can I explain to you what type of life it is? Full of misery, wretchedness. It's an awful life. It's a sickening life. A person gets few minutes of enjoyment when committing the sin. But after that, it is lifelong misery. And if he doesn't make tawbah, then in the akhirat also will be punishment for him. Therefore, muhasabah. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, all our mashayikh have mentioned about islah of the nafs and muhasabah of the nafs extensively. There is a great writer, a very great alim of the past, many centuries ago, Allama Muhasibi Rahmatullahi Alayh. He has written, and we mentioned last week in Arabic, he said, حَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ فِي كُلِّ خَطْرَةٍ. Every khatra, every thought, and every action that you do, you must check your nafs. In the beginning, it might be difficult. But once a person becomes accustomed to this, then he'll find it easy. And now he'll become more vigilant of his nafs, And when a person is more vigilant, then he'll be more cautious and he won't see things out of turn. Person is driving, and the first time he drives very fast, so he gets a traffic fine. The second time he's going on the same road, he's going to be cautious. And the exact spot where he got the fine the last time, he sees the cop standing there and trapping. So every time he's going to go past that same road, he knows they're trapped there. In fact, he'll inform his friends, must be careful. At this toll gate, they're always trapping there. So like that, each time a person must make muhasabah of himself. وَحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ فِي كُلِّ خَطْرَةٍ وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ لَحْظَةٍ. And every breath you take, every second of your life, you must be mindful of Allah. You have to have Allah awareness, Allah consciousness, that my Allah is watching me. If a person has this consciousness, Allah is watching me, then obviously, his gunas will not be in abundance. And the moment he sins, immediately he'll make tawbah, because he realizes, my Allah was watching me. We are human beings, we will commit sins. We become ghafil. Every person becomes ghafil at times. But depending on the consciousness he has of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will refrain from sins. Allama Muhasibi is not his real name. He was from Baghdad. He's got the title of Muhasibi because he was very, very punctual, very rigid in making hisab of his nafs. In checking his nafs all the time. Ulama gave him the title then, Al-Muhasibi. There's an incident about him to show his taqwa, his piety. When he was young, he was playing with his friends. Wasn't baligh, a little boy. And in the marketplace they were playing. And suddenly he finds a person coming with him and says, "Oh young boy, have these dates. Have these dates." So he asks, where are these dates from? He says, "No, somebody purchased some dates just now from me." And as he was going away, some of these dates fell off his basket. And that man is gone, so you can have it. He refuses. He asks his friends, "Is this person a Muslim?" And he goes away. This man hears him saying something, runs behind him, catches him. "What did you say? What thoughts you have about me?" He says, "I asked my friend if you're a Muslim." He says, "How dare you ask such a question? Explain to me why you asked them such a question." He says, "No, because if you're a Muslim, then it is haram for you to take somebody's goods like this, even though it's just a few dates. You have to find the rightful owner. And you cannot give any other person this haram to eat, because this is not your wealth." So this was his piety from a very tender age. And therefore he's written kitab, which our mashayikh quote from different of his malfuzat. So here he has said, "Hasib nafsaka fi kulli khatrah wa raqibi Allah fi kulli nafas." Every sense you take, every breath you take, you must be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi, as mentioned so many times, he was a very great khalifa, very senior khalifa of Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi. So he writes that, "Apne nafs ka muhasaba karo, har khatra o khiyal mein, qalb ki kayfiyat ke wo mahir the." In other words, Allama Muhasibi was a mahir, was an expert as far as the nafs was concerned. We have spiritual doctors, like how we have medical doctors and specialists, and they vary in their proficiency and efficiency and their skill. Somebody is more experienced than the other. So like that, their spiritual doctors, Allama Muhasibi rahmatullahi alayh, had reached a very high level. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib then explains the same couplet that we had mentioned now. Then he says, "Shaitan ke behkane ka tariqa." What is the way shaitan deceives a person? And we're mentioning the Urdu because in these Ahlullah, these Mashayikh, there is noor in the kalam. In our own words, there's no noor. Yeah, we try and translate or just give the gist of what they're saying. But there's, you see, noor in their words. Is shaitan nek aadmi ko ye nahi kehta ki tum zina karo.
Shaitan won't tell a pious person, go and make zina, commit zina. Balki pehle ek haseen surat dikhai. He'll show him a very beautiful face first. A very pretty woman. Agar tumne uski tawajjuh zehen se na nikal di, to bar bar khayal aayega. If at that moment, after seeing that woman, you do not remove that image from your mind, then continuously this picture will play on your mind. It will keep on flashing in your mind. Pehli nazar ikhtiyari na thi. The first time you glance was out of you, beyond your control, wasn't within your ikhtiyar. You had no choice in the matter. It was an accidental gaze. Dusri nazar ikhtiyari ho gayi. But the second time now, that you have done on your own will. So what does shaitan do? Ye beech aage chalkar ek darakht ho jayega. Shaitan planted the seed. You look at the second time, then a third time. Now you go back home, and this picture of this woman plays in your mind all the time. To such an extent, our Hazrat Damat Barakatuh bin Ali Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib mentioned, there was one person who came to him, and because he had been casting lustful glances, making bad nazri so much, he said, Hazrat, now I have reached such a state that when I make sajda also, then the picture and the image of these women come into my mind. In fact, parts of their body. Allah Ta'ala save us. So look at shaitan. This is how he misleads a person. This is how he deceives a person. Kyunki is maqsood ko hasil karne ki zarai mein lag jayega. Yahan tak ki wo gunah sadir ho jayega. Aur irada-e-kamil ke baad amal lazimi taur par ho jata hai. Phir ek dafa gunah ho jaye, توبہ کر لے تائب ہو جائے گا. اگر توبہ نہ کی تو یہ عادت ہو گئی. اس واسطے فرمایا کہ دل میں ارادہ پیدا ہو تو محاسبہ کرو, اچھا ہے یا برا, اللہ کو ناپسند ہے یا پسند. اگر معلوم ہو کہ گناہ ہے تو اس سے بچنے کی کوشش کرو. جس میں دین جائے ایسا نفع بھی نہیں چاہیے. اگر اس کو دفع نہ کیا تو اس پر عمل ہوگا اور پھر عادت ہو جائے گی. حضرت سیز that it becomes a habit. If you don't make tawbah, istighfar, sincerely, genuinely, then you will take this thing very lightly. And each time now, you will be keep on casting lustful glances at this haram. This is one example. Then it will become an adat. After something becomes an adat, it became a tree now. Now it is very difficult to chop down. A seed that is planted, you can easily remove and throw it away. And cast it aside. Get rid of it. But a huge tree which got its roots deeply planted into the ground, it is firm now. Such a tree is very difficult to remove. Aadi gunahgar ka dil ulte bartan ki tarah hai. A person who is a persistent sinner, his heart is like a container or utensil which is upside down. حضرت مفتی شفیع صاحب says, حدیث میں ہے کہ ایک شخص عادی ہو جائے گناہ کا, person becomes a habitual sinner, تو اس کا قلب ایسا ہو جاتا ہے جیسے الٹا برتن. So his heart becomes like an upside down utensil or container جس میں کوئی چیز نہ آئے. And nothing can go into that container. You can pour water, nothing will go inside the container. You can try and fill something, nothing will fill because it's upside down. پھر نہ کسی بلائی کو بلائی سمجھتا ہے اور نہ برائی کو برائی سمجھتا ہے. This person's heart is inverted. Now he won't realize good from bad. He won't realize good to be good and he won't deem evil to be evil. شروع خطرہ سے ہوتا ہے. اسے ڈاکٹر جانتا ہے فلا بیماری کے جراثیم یہاں سے چلتے ہیں. وہ اس کو وہی روکتے ہیں. اسی طرح یہ عارفین باطن کی طبیب ہوتے ہیں. وہ جانتے ہیں کہ سب سے پہلے کہاں سے گناہ پر ورش پاتا ہے. These Ahlullah, these Mashayikh, they know exactly where this first simple guna is going to lead you. Where it's going to lead you to. And therefore, what is their endeavors? They try and they attempt to break it off from the root. They can see that this germ is going to spread. First, it was just one lustful glance you cast it. But if you're going to continue, the germs are so terrible that it will lead a person to zina in the end. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from casting a lustful glance at a haram, at a woman who is not our mahram. It is haram. Why? Because this casting a lustful glance will eventually, if a person does not refrain from it, he will become a habitual glancer at woman and it will lead him to zina. Allah Ta'ala save us. So this is the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is mentioning. He says this person who has become a persistent sinner, a habitual sinner, then his heart becomes inverted. No matter now what he's going to listen to, no Quran will go into his heart, no hadith will have any effect, no waaz nasihat will have any effect. This person is a hadith of Rasulullah in dua. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. Wallah, make us see haqq to be haqq. Warzuqna tiba'ah. And give us the ability to follow that good. Any good? Ya Allah, whatever good you have regarded as being good, whatever Rasulullah has mentioned as being good, in Quran and Hadith, what Sharia says it is ma'roof and good and accepted, what Allah likes, make us realize that that is good for us and make us follow it. Wa arina al-batila batila wa rzuqna ijtinabah. Make us see batil to be batil. Make us realize that which is haram for us, make us realize it is haram for us. It is detrimental for us. And help us to refrain from batil. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat then mentions, as of Hazrat Arif Billah, his whole life, he mentioned almost every couplet, every poetry of his, there's one message, and that is refraining from guna. And specifically, the scourge of our time, especially for menfolk, is we cast lustful glances at haram women. Allah Ta'ala save us from this bimari. He says, bepardagi ka azab. What is the azab of not having hijab and parda in our society? Sabse pehle, nazar par pehra bithaya. Aaj saare jahan mein, ye bepardagi ka azab aam hai. Log kehte hai, ki nazar dalne se waswasa nahi aata. Ye jhoot hai. Shaitan ka dhoka hai. Man says, nothing happens to me when I look at women. I have full control of my nafs. As the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, ye jhoot hai. He is speaking a lie. There is no such thing as this. Ye mumkin hi nahi ki nazar dale bar bar aur waswasa na aaye. It's impossible. It's impossible. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Allah is not addressing mankind. Allah is addressing the believers. Those who have iman. Allah warns those who have iman. In the first verse, the men, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, they should lower their gazes. And وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, even the woman, they should also lower their gazes. Allah save us. Nowadays, it's common amongst women also, that they cast lustful glances at men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have mentioned this command if such a thing did not exist. So a person who says, no, I can look how much, nothing happens to me, he is a liar. In fact, he is nafs ka chor. Ye mumkin hi nahi ki nazar dale bar bar aur waswasa na aaye. Aaj bazaar mein chalna mushkil ho gaya hai. As the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah mentioning, so difficult, in fact in his time, so many years ago, he said it's difficult to walk in the bazaar. Uska ilaaj yahi hai ki aisi tafrihat, aisi majlise, aisi jagah se bachna chahiye jahan aurate mard jama ho. Very clear. We are talking about Mufti Azam Pakistan, the father of Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mufti Rafi Sahib, damat barakatuhum. If you look at the works of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, mind-boggling. No alim can do his studies without checking some works of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. His famous Ma'arif al-Quran, every single alim must study his Ma'arif al-Quran. So he mentions that we should stay away from those places where there's intermingling of sexes. Males and female, everything open, nobody bothers about parda. Apne ahlu iyal mein uski fikr kare ki parda qaim ho. And we should make this fikr, we should be concerned that our wives, the woman folk of our family, our daughters, our sisters should go into parda.
جس شریعت نے نظر پر پہرا بٹھایا تھا اس کے ماننے والے آج بے باک بازاروں میں بے پردہ پھرا رہے ہیں اپنی لڑکیوں کو اور سمجھتے ہیں کہ یہ ترقی ہے.
We send our young daughters into the bazaars. As Mufti Shafi Sahib is talking about them not being in parda. At least in his mind they must be talking about at least they may have got some scarf and the faces uncovered. In our times they are walking half naked. Scantily dressed, our young daughters. There was once, we find the elderly woman, if they see any person with a topi and beard and kurta walking, and if those women are not in hijab, not in parda, they will still have some sharam and haya in them. They will still cover their face with their hands or the other end of the scarf. But the young girls of our society today, Muslim girls, they don't care whether he's a alim walking or whether he's an elderly person walking. She can see the person has got a beard, kurta, some respect. They don't even bother. Revealing their bodies. This is the condition of our ummah today. May Allah Ta'ala save us. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah open our eyes. And therefore it is important, as the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah mentions here after that, سَبْسَ بَرَا عَذَابْ اُمَّتْ پَرْ آج بے حیائی بے پردگی کا بے پردگی کا ہے. The worst of azab, the most severe of punishments and wabal on us is the fact that there is no haya left. It's immodesty. There is no parda. اور کوئی اس کی پرواہ نہیں کرتا. کسی کو ہوش نہیں. Nobody is bothered about it. بڑے بڑے پاک باز عالم بھی اس پر توجہ نہیں کرتے. Many great alim also is not bothered. Allah protect us. Easy to mention these malfuzat of our mashayikh. Allah protect me, myself first. And all of us who are sitting here. And all those who are listening. Allah mustn't make us slip. People waiting outside there to see this person slipping so they can make it a talk of the town. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah is too kind. What does Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says? He says that even ulama sometimes, they turn a blind eye to it. They don't seem to be bothered about it. Buzrugon ki nazar se pata chalta tha ki kon kisi nazar dal kar aaya hai. Mashaykh of the past, Ahlullah, sitting and people will come into the gathering, they would make out by looking at the face that way this person has casted his glance. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala is sitting, people coming in and sitting by him, he say, ay, ay, ay. What has happened to the people today? Ma balu aqwam. What's wrong with the people today? I can see zina dripping from their eyes. I can see zina falling down from their eyes. In other words, they casted lustful glances, no haya whatsoever, and now they are coming and sitting in front of me. Therefore, we are human beings, make tawbah, istighfar. And we mentioned, you person has to have himmat. Two things in this path of suluk I mentioned the other day is himmat and khulus. A person must be sincere and he must have the courage. He must have the courage. Now these things, like I mentioned to some of our friends the other day, may seem very bitter. I have not seen any person who stress about casting lustful glances as much as our Arif Billah Zaki Makhtar Sahib Damat Barakallah. In the beginning I should think, why is he talking so much about it? Then as we carry on in life, we realize how important it is for every single person to make hifazat of his eyes. Aaj taraqqi ka zamana samajhte hai. We think that now we are in the day of, in the era of progress. And technology, science and technology has made great progress. He says, but ghairat hamiyat barbaad ho rahe. There's no more dignity, there's no modesty. There's no chastity left. Sari neki taqwa barbaad karne ke baad,
Everything what's happening now, all the efforts we're making, the taqwa we're accumulating by means of our waaz, nasihat, our bayan, our salat, our roza, our dhikr, our tilawat. We're just destroying it by all these haram actions that we're indulging in. Allah Ta'ala save us. We have, in the name of Islam, many fairs that take place. In the name of Islam, I'm not afraid to mention this thing. I mentioned it last year as well, and Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali mentioned openly. There are many fairs that take place in the name of Islam. But what happens after that, it becomes an affair. There are people who have been involved in this, and they have come and explained to Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, this would happen. Because I was in that fair, in that stall, and working with this person, or this person, this young boy came, and we got involved. Let us not play with the deen of Islam. Let us not try and justify our wrongs. As that Mawlana Rahmatullah should always mention, if you're wrong, accept that I am wrong. But when a person is wrong, he's justifying and saying that he's right. And then you bring Quran and Hadith. By no nasheed and nazam makes anything kosher. You can have the world's best qari reciting before your program. It doesn't make anything halal. We must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, we will stand before Allah on our own. Leave ourselves being misled or misleading ourselves. How many others we are misleading? Don't we realize and ponder what nuqsan we are causing? And then we see ulama are narrow-minded. They are in the past, living in the camel age. Quran and Hadith, if we have become blind because our hearts have become inverted, and if we are unable to see batil to be batil, let us not blame others. Please, I'm not saying that I am a buzrug or pious. Allah forgive me, I'm full of sins. I'm the worst person. But if Allah Ta'ala has given us tawfiq of mentioning something that's beneficial to ourselves and the ummah, perhaps some people may take heed and they may refrain from going to such fairs. Inshallah, it'll be beneficial, it'll be a means of najat in the akhirat. Our ulama, Mashayikh Hazrat Thani Ramdur, will mention the rusum, the customs of the that were prevalent at his days. The wrong customs, the bid'ah that was taking place, the customs of jahiliyat that took place. And Hazrat Thani Ramdur gave a lot of zor, he emphasized on all these things. He had fikr that the people must not go to haram. They may be saved. If all of us turn a blind eye, nobody bothers about it. And we just let our women, our young girls parade. What is going to happen? Okay, inshallah, no zina takes place. No casting of lustful glances will take place also. When everybody is so scantily dressed and intermingling and moving around. What fear we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in our holiday period, wherever we may be, some resort, there too, let us not just let our young girls to go on their own. It takes a few seconds, just a few seconds, and your entire life can become barbad. Few seconds. I'm talking about years ago. And Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah has just mentioned, and I promise you, astiqasam in Allah, I don't even know who the person is. He didn't mention any person's name at all, but he was so worried that day where a man comes and he cries. He says, Maulana, please make dua. He cried like a little baby. And he says, my daughter went to some shopping complex. After that, there was no sign of her. Entire weekend, she was missing. We searched for her every place we could think of. Finally, she was found in one hotel room. And she was raped by 7 boys. It is too late. Allah make hifazat of the chastity of all of our young, our youth, our
ourselves, our wives, our children. Allah protect us. These are things of concern. Somebody has to show people the right way. Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to whoever He wishes. So as the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi had mentioned, that this is the azab of bepardagi. When there's no parda and hijab, and sometimes a woman even dons a hijab. She even may don a hijab, and she says, no, I'm covered. So I'm safe. No. Such a woman is also not safe. She might feel, no, I can go to those fairs and I can go to those places. There were so many women who were even in hijab. When they became so affected by the melodious voice of those nasheed artists. I know of one person who mentioned, confess with Tawbah Istighfar, that I used to listen to this nasheed artist so much. And I was taken away by his voice. A married woman she was. Hazrat had mentioned about the woman who went to a cricket match with her husband. And how she looked at the cricketer and she fell in love with him. What happens after that? When there's problems come onto who? The ulama. Now we run for the mufti. Now we run for ta'weez. We go to every amil we can think of. Hazrat Mullah Wasfila Ramadullah should say, he says, people say, Hazrat, ta'weez, give us a ta'weez. Why? Nafs kabu mein nahi aata hai. We can't control our nafs. We're trying very hard, but you know, we just, Hazrat says, ta'weez? Come, I'll give you one ta'weez. And the ta'weez he gave, he says, look at the dua of Rasulullah sallam. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwa. Ya Allah, grant our nafs taqwa. وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّى. Purify our hearts. From all those who can ever purify our hearts, Ya Allah, you are the best of purifiers. أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. You are the guardian, you are the protector, you are the controller of our hearts. So Allah Ta'ala make our hifazat. Many people complain, women are wearing abaya, they're wearing parda, but beneath that abaya you must see what people are wearing. Let us not defeat the purpose of hijab. Let us try and live a pure life. A pak, saf life. Then we see what enjoyment Allah Ta'ala gives a person. Then we see what sukoon a person will get. Then you see what enjoyment a person will get, lazzat he gets in his ibadat. Sometimes we see a person always engaged in a lot of tahajjud, a lot of nafil, a lot of tilawat of the Quran. Whenever you see him in the masjid, one side is reading Quran. Whenever you see him is engaged in salat, or making dhikr, you think that how is this person able to make such long ibadat? He's enjoying something. Allah gives him the taste, the sweetness of his ibadat. So many mothers out there, they really enjoy the ibadat. I mentioned the other day, they put us to shame. They fulfill all the mamulat, all the wazifas and awrad and dhikr and tilawat and everything. And they get such enjoyment. So why should we deprive ourselves from this enjoyment of getting the sweetness of ibadat and the sweetness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of our other mashayikh had mentioned, he said, nafs ka kaam sirf guna ki taraf mail karna hai. Nafs, it just shows us the way towards guna, that's all. Uske mail karne par, jo hi banda ki tabiyat guna ki taraf chalti hai, nafs foran shaitan ko ishara karta hai, maine apna kaam kar diya, ye banda guna ki taraf chalne par aamada hai, lihaza, ab tu uska haath pakar, aur usse guna ki taraf chala. So initially that it is the nafs that incites us and takes us towards the sin. Just indicates us, pushes us towards the, or directs us towards the sin, or shows us the road towards the sin. Then the nafs addresses shaitan,
tell Shaitan, I've done my job. Now you hold this person's hand and you make sure you take him towards the evil. He says, I will give an example. Is baat ko ek misal se baasani samjha ja sakta hai. Ye ki fajr ki azan masjidon mein umuman aadha ghanta qabl hoti. Now what here, 20 minutes before the fajr salat, the fajr azan is given. Some places half an hour. Unlike the other salat, just 15 minutes. Jab fajr ki azan hoti hai, to aankh khulti hai. We have got receivers at home, and all of us are well aware now. Let us think of our own selves. We hear the muazzin, mashallah, every single day without fail. Every masjid of our locality, you can try it out, try if obviously it has to be the same time, namaz, fajr time. You try, if it's 4 o'clock azan, then all of them exactly, not 1 second, not 1 minute late, not 1 minute early, on time, they are so pabans. Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair. So we hear the azan, the fajr ki azan hoti hai, aankh khulti hai, eyes open, dil mein ek khayal paida hota hai. Abhi to jamaat mein aadha ghanta baqi hai. So Allah Ta'ala half an hour left for namaz. Istinja, wuzu, do sunnat par kar, masjid jane mein sirf 10 minute lagte hai. Just takes me about 5-10 minutes and I'm ready and I'll be ready for the masjid. Lihada, 20 minute or solo. So from the half an hour, I still got another 20 minutes more. Takes me only 10 minutes to get ready. Make go toilet, make mawudu, and read 2 rakat sunnat. So another 20 minutes, let me carry on sleeping. Ye khiyal taqriban har ek ko aata hai. Aur rozana aata hai. Ye khiyal kon dalta hai? This thought, who puts it in? اور یہ کس کی آواز ہوتی ہے دوستو یہ خیال نفس پیدا کرتا ہے This is the نفس یہ نفس کی آواز ہوتی ہے نفس اور شیطان ہماری یہ دونوں دشمن اتنے مستعد اور چوکنے رہتے ہیں کہ یہاں ہماری آنکھ کھلی اور وہاں انہوں نے اپنا کام شروع کر دیا ہماری آنکھ کھلتے ہی یہ دونوں دھوکے دینے والا اپنا عمل شروع کر دیتے ہیں اور رات میں آنکھ بند ہونے تک مسلسل اپنا کام کرتے رہتے ہیں So the خلاصہ of what حضرت مفتی شفیع صاحب or somebody else had written is that the nafs makes you feel that no, I've got plenty time now. And what shaitan will do? Shaitan will make you feel even more asleep. He'll make you feel more sleepy. In fact, when a person goes to sleep, then shaitan ties 3 knots on his neck. And he says, sleep, and have a long sleep. What is his maqsad? You mustn't wake up for tahajjud. You must miss your fajr salat. So when the nafs tells the person, don't worry, you've got 20 minutes still left. Then shaitan comes in. And he makes the person feel even more sleepy. Therefore, what we should do? Jump out of the bed immediately. And realize that it is nafs. One Buzruk mentioned, that how do you make out? See the chalaki of the nafs. A person, it's fajr time. Nafs comes and tell him, Arey bhai, aapko to bukhar hai. You got fever. And your throat also very sore. Plus last night you hardly slept. So he says that kasal. Person is lazy. That laziness, nafs makes it feel that it's a bimari, it's a maras. And now a person really feels, yeah, I'm really hardly had any sleep. I'm really sick. So in other words, he's making those plans that it's okay for me to read namaz at home. I don't have to go to the masjid. So this Buzruk then addresses his nafs and he asks his nafs, yes, I know I'm not well. I know I'm sick. My throat is sore. I hardly sleep at night. I've got fever. But why are you reminding me about this now? Oh nafs, why are you reminding me that I am sick, I've got a sore throat, a hardness? Why are you reminding me of this now, when it is namaz time? I will stand up, and I will go, perform my wudu, I will perform my fajr with jamaat in the masjid, and the entire day, I'll feel happy. This is the mujahada a person has to make. Nafs has a taqaza. Nafs has some want from you, some desires. It pulls you towards those evil desires. Mujahada means you go to make mukhalafat of that taqaza of your nafs. You go to oppose your nafs.
And you got to restrain yourself. You cannot give in. If you give in, you are like that person who you are fighting, that boxing match, you got an opponent, and he is knocking you, punching at you. And you are just standing there defenseless. What's going to happen? You're going to fall, you're going to become weaker, and you'll become unconscious. You'll be knocked out. Therefore, you're going to stand up. You're going to defend yourself. And this is the mujahada, which is required our entire life. He says, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions in Arabic, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Check your nafs before the day of Hisab, before Allah takes a reckoning of you. Take an account of your nafs before Allah takes an account of your deeds. Why? If a person does not check his nafs, what will happen? He will become a slave of his nafs. He will become a disobedient banda of Allah Ta'ala. What will happen on the day of Qiyamah? Now he'll have to account for every single deed he did, and every wrong he did. And that hisab will take very long. It's a very painful hisab. But if he makes hisab of his nafs in this world, it's just a few minutes only. Few minutes only. I did this, and this was wrong. I should not have done this. And what will happen? He'll make tawbah. When he makes sincere tawbah, that guna is then wiped out. It's forgiven. So now there is less for him to carry across to the day of Qiyamah, when his registers will be opened, and there will be hardly any gunas that he had committed. Why? Because he made hisab kitab. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, وَزِنُوهَا قَبْلَ أَن تُوزَن. And you weigh your nafs. In other words, you check your nafs and weigh your nafs before your amal will be weighed in the day of Qiyamah. وَتَعَرَّضُوا. And prepare for the day of Al-Ardu Al-Akbar, that great day when all of our amal will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that bride who beautifies herself for her husband. She decorates herself, beautifies herself. She makes sure that every single scar on her face is removed. She'll preen herself in front of the mirror. She'll comb her hair 100 times. She'll make sure that her mother checks her garment, her bridal outfit, everything is 100% right. There's no stains on it. There's no creases. Like that, we have to make muhasaba of our nafs and check our amal, that everything must be according to Quran and Hadith. Everything must be done for Allah's pleasure. If a person takes such a reckoning of his nafs, then inshallah on the day of Qiyamah, there isn't much for him then to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, how would he make ilaj of his nafs? Once a person sees him, or people saw him in Medina, carrying water bags on his shoulder. Leather bags full of water, very heavy, and going door to door to all those poor people and delivering this water for them. Somebody said, Amirul Mu'mineen, you are the Amirul Mu'mineen. Why are you burdening yourself like this? Let us do it for you. He says, no. Umar thought just now that I am Amirul Mu'mineen. And Allah has given me such honor and dignity more than the kings of Persia and Rome. This thought has crossed my mind. So to punish my nafs, to belittle my nafs, I put myself in place. Therefore I am burdening myself with carrying this water bags, despite being Amir Mu'mineen, and despite having the authority to command anybody else to do so, I am doing it myself. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, wearing a beautiful garment, suddenly asked somebody for the scissors, and he begins to snip it at the end. Somebody said, Hazrat, why are you doing this? He says, no, this thought crossed my mind. Oh Ali, you're looking so handsome today. And look at your garment. So because this was creating this ujab in me, this vanity, to punish myself, this is what I did. I spoiled my garment. Now we don't take scissors and start cutting our garments, because we haven't reached that level as yet. Because then we'll have problem at home.
we have reached that level, we hardly even wear any clothes which have patches.
Rasulullah ﷺ would wear clothes and there were patches on his clothes.
Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala entering Palestine, Baytul Maqdis, and he's got 12 patches on his garment.
Our ulama mashayikh, right? We spend so much of time putting our topi right, and putting our glasses right, and combing our beard, standing in front of the mirror for so long. Of course, we have to look neat. There's no problem in that. But we spend so much of time in that. But never did we spend so much of time on checking deep down in our nafs. And seeing where is our nafs leading us to.
Mawla Wasiullah Rahmatullah mentioned, Allah ki raaste ka sabse bara mani'a. The biggest obstacle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, main kehta hu ki sabse zyada mukhalif Allah ta'ala ki raaste mein hawa-e nafsani hai. It's the same. The evil desires of our nafs. Aur khuda ke muqabale mein jo ma'bud hota hai, wo yahi hawa-e nafsani hai.
This nafs that we have made an ilah, it is as though we are worshipping our nafs. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى.
Allah talks about in the Quran
that because we are abiding or following the commands and the dictates of this nafs of ours, and we have become slaves and subservient to this nafs, it is as though we have made this nafs a ma'bud and we are worshipping this nafs. So this nafs being a deity now, opposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the true deity and the only person worthy of him being worshipped. So on one hand we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other hand we have become slaves of this nafs. We have made this nafs a ma'bud, whereas only Allah is the ma'bud. He is ma'bud haqiqi.
Isliye Allah ta'ala ki yahan martaba jo milta hai wo nafs ke taqazon ko khatam karne hi se milta hai.
A person reaches high in rank in the eyes of Allah according to how much he annihilated his nafs. Each time the nafs had a taqaza, some demand, prompted him, lured him, he did not give in. He did not succumb to his nafs. He opposed his nafs. It was difficult. There was some pain he endured. But he pleased Allah. This person's stages is elevated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the verse, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And then the Hazrat says, مگر جس نفس کو یہ لوگ بچپن سے پرورش کرتے ہیں اس کے تقاضوں کو چھوڑنا اور اس کو اس کی خواہش سے باز رکھنا ان کے لیے بہت دشوار امر ہے. ہاں بس یہ چاہتے ہیں کہ کوئی تعویذ مل جائے اور وہی اس کی تقاضوں کو بھی ختم کر دے. Which I mentioned already that these people from childhood days, we just nurture our nafs and we give the nafs the wrong nourishment. We don't feed it with the ذکر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tilawat of the Quran, namaz, khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood sharif. Because we don't give this nafs the right nourishment, and we feed it with haram, haram, haram. Whatever the nafs desires, we give it. A child we have, and we say, this child is a spoiled child. Who spoiled it? The father spoiled his child. Anything, or the nani spoiled his child. Anything the child wanted, they gave him. So what happens as the child grows? A time comes when the child makes such a demand, which the parent says, no, no, we can't give you this. It's not good for you. It's going to be harmful to you. The child is crying. And because each time, whatever the child demanded, the child was so used to the person, the parent or the grandparent, just fulfilling his desires. Now suddenly today the parent is saying no. So eventually what will happen? The parent or grandparent will give in and they'll give this child whatever he wants. Exactly like that. This nafs is becoming spoiled. And to bring this nafs back into check and put the wheel balancing of this nafs correct, we have to sometimes not give our nafs even those things which are mabah and jais for it.
There's something very deep. Sometimes something is absolutely permissible for a person to eat some dessert, some cake, whatever it is, some food item, perfectly permissible, mabah. But because our nafs, whatever demands, whatever taqaza it had, we give in, we fulfill the desires of the nafs, now the nafs is becoming rebellious, is becoming spoilt, not obeying, and not moving, is not coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we need to train this nafs and tame this nafs. So, one is that a person will read extra rakats, nafil, as a punishment to the nafs. But the other is that something which is mabah also, like this food item which is perfectly permissible for this person to partake of, but he will not even partake of this food item. As a person does this, now he is nurturing his nafs in the right way. In the time of Sahaba Ikram, they lived in the company, in the sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the time they were so conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in their case you won't find them having to go and punish themselves so much. Imagine a few incidents. And there was the level of their taqwa. Outwardly, what did Sayyidina Umar do? Nothing so serious. One thought this came across his mind. Nothing wrong. These were just thoughts that passed their mind, but still they underwent such mujahada. And they punished their nafs in such a way. So Sahaba Ikram, the company they had of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Quran coming down, the environment that was built, their nafs was so pure, that they didn't have to just give in to the demands of their nafs. Why? They had nurtured their nafs from the beginning. And why did they nurture their nafs? Because they realized that Jannat is their real abode. And they had the Jannat in front of them all the time. They had the istihdar of Allah. That Allah is hadir, Allah is hadir, Allah is watching, Allah is watching. When this istihdar disappears from our life, and we forget that Allah is watching, which we term as ghaflat, person is ghafil, he's heedless, he forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, now, his nafs and shaitan will give him dhokha. But the moment a person makes mujahada, like how sahaba made, little mujahada there to make, they were already moving in the right direction. And therefore, whatever taqaza came of deen, that by jihad is taking place, you must give your life, sahaba were ready immediately. This expedition, you must contribute. They didn't look at the next person. But Sayyidina Umar comes and brings half his belongings. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq brings all his belongings. So whatever taqaza of deen there was, because their hearts were so pure, they had the taqwa, they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they knew Jannat is the abode, or they were striving towards the Jannat, the final abode, and they wanted the real success. Therefore, whatever demand of Shariat, whatever Rasul requested, whatever request came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately they were able to give into that request. And whatever taqaza of nafs, immediately they turned away from the taqaza. Our muamala is ulta. It's the other way around. But again, we should not lose hope. Never lose hope, never lose hope. I always say, and I will repeat, take those baby steps towards Allah, Allah comes running to us. Allah is too kind in this period, this zamana also, with so much of temptation, so much of haram, so much of evil pleasures and entertainment. A person, little bit, he changes his direction. Little bit of mujahada on his nafs. And he does not give in to the taqaz of his nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that sukoon. Allah will give him that contentment. Allah ta'ala will give him that vilayat. May Allah ta'ala make us all his true awliya-i kamilin siddiqeen. May Allah ta'ala guide us. May Allah protect us from all types of fitna and fasad. May Allah protect us, our parents, our wives, our children, our youth, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from zina, from casting lustful glances, from every type of sin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma inna shidda wa